Welcome everyone, this Wednesday evening as we meet here on Facebook Live. I trust that the Lord has blessed you today with a good day. I hope so. It has been a beautiful day in our part of the world, but right now I want to spend a few minutes visiting with you and talking about some practical and helpful things from the Bible when it comes to challenges that we face. Have you ever had a time in your life where you just seem to be at rock bottom? It seemed as though things couldn't get any worse. And everything, like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you in one way or another, or maybe in multiple ways, you have faced some really difficult times. I think we all may feel that way right now because of what has happened the last several months. And then, of course, with everything that's happening in the country right now and all the controversy, it seems like we've never faced such problems before. In our church, we have not met for several months in Brookings or in Gold Beach. Now, we did start services at Gold Beach, and we will be starting services in a couple of weeks in Brookings. But we wonder, you know, the church has been empty. Will we be able to have regular church services again? Who will come? How many will come? What will be the future of the church? And there are times when we have feelings like this, whether it's about our church or just about our personal lives. Whatever it is that we are going through, we find that perhaps in some cases because of circumstances beyond our control, or in some cases maybe it's bad decisions that we've made, mistakes that we've made that cause us to really find that we have just gotten ourselves into a real predicament. And we can't blame anybody but ourselves. What are we supposed to do at times like that? Well, I'd like for us to take a look at a book of the Bible, which is the book of Ruth tonight. We will take a look at what the book of Ruth has to say to us in these kinds of times. And before we read the Bible, let us have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will give us spiritual understanding as we read the Bible tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So we have here the story of the book of Ruth here, which is the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, and a man by the name of Boaz, who comes into the picture. And it's a very short story in the Old Testament. We don't know for sure who wrote the book of Ruth. It may have been the prophet Samuel, but anyway, whoever wrote it, when it was written, it was believed to be inspired by God and to be included in the scripture, and so it was included. And I want to take a look at how the very beginning of the book of Ruth, and we'll go over a few verses in the book that help us to see how things can work in life when maybe we're just about as down as we possibly could be, maybe because of choices that we've made. And how does God work in our lives at a time like that? In Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it tells about a terrible famine that came on the land of the people of God and what one family decided to do about it. The family of Naomi and her husband Elimelech decided to leave Bethlehem and to go to a foreign country. It says here in chapter 1, verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." A famine. Can you get into a worse situation than that? No food to eat? Can't imagine anything worse than that. Well, what is this family going to do? "And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab." That was a foreign country, by the way. Not very far as we would count it. It was only about 30 miles away. But in those days, that was a long ways because you traveled by foot everywhere. So he went to the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. The verse 2 says, the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. So you have the man, you have his wife, and you have their two sons, and they leave Bethlehem, and they go to this foreign country. Things don't seem to turn out, however, as they might have hoped, as they expected. If you take a look at this, it's not hard to notice that what they did in leaving Bethlehem was really, could be considered a lack of faith. In the Bible, in the Old Testament scriptures which they had, they were told what to do when such famine would come. They were told to pray and to go before God, and the Lord would help to get them out of that situation and would provide food for them. But they didn't do that. They go to this foreign country, and they've got their two sons. Both sons are single. What do you think that's going to lead to? Well, it says here that things really went downhill. Verse 3, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So here they are. They've left a land of famine. They've gone to a land of plenty. And then her husband dies. He dies in a land of plenty, a land of blessing. But it just doesn't turn out the way that they had hoped. Well, that's not the end of their troubles. If you take a look now here at verse 4, the sons get married to these Moabite girls. By the way, in a marriage that by Old Testament standards should not be taking place. Neither of these two marriages. They're marrying outside of the faith. Now it says, verse 4, they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. So things seem to be going okay. 10 years there, making their lives day by day, but tragedy is going to strike again. Both sons will die. Both sons, again, in a land of plenty, they die. Verse 5, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. That was Naomi. Here she is. She's lost her husband. She's lost both of her sons. Can you imagine how she possibly felt? I can't imagine. She was really having a tough time. Well, she finally decided it's time to go back to the homeland. And so the record tells us here in verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So she heard that there was something going on. There was something positive that was happening back in the old country, back in the area of Bethlehem where she had been from. And she decided it's time to go back there. And so she has her two daughters-in-law with her. And they begin, it says verse 7, therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But at some point, on some part of that dusty road, if you can imagine, she pauses before they get too far along the way, and she has this to say to her daughters-in-law. She's concerned about them. They have a future. They need to have happiness, and she's not going to be able to provide for them. And so she stops to talk to them. Verse 8, and Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. She wanted them to be able to find husbands to go back to their homeland and to carry on with their lives and not to go along with her. And they had developed quite a bond by this time. It says here in the last part of verse 9, so she kissed them, and they lifted their voices, and they wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But she feels concerned about them. She says, no, you need to go back home. Verse 11, Naomi said, go back, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope and I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And you talk about a hopeless feeling. She's quite open about her feelings. So it appears that Orpah decided to take her advice and go back, but Ruth has this beautiful commitment. She wants to stay with her. And these are words that you sometimes hear at a wedding. But here it says, Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me. Well, that was quite a commitment, quite a statement from Ruth. She wanted to go with her. She had really grown close to her. And so that's what happened. Ruth finally accepted, all right, if you want to come along with me. And so she goes. She follows with Naomi. They go back to Bethlehem, and they get back there, and the people remember her. Remember how many years it's been? More than 10 years. The people remember her, but what does she reply to them when they speak to her? We have in verse 19, the people said, is this Naomi? Is this Naomi? But she said to them, verse 20, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. So the word Naomi means pleasant. And this word Mara means bitter. But then in verse 21, she shares her real feelings. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? She was just in a terrible state of mind, very, very discouraged. And she uses this word, bitter. She uses this word empty. Empty. Have you ever felt empty in your life? And it's even more difficult when you know that it's your own fault. Maybe you've made decisions, you've gone against God's will in some way, and now you're just in a terrible state of real predicament, and life seems to be very, very empty. Well, she does not know that God is about to do a remarkable thing in her life. And Ruth, if you read in chapters 2 and chapter 3 of the book of Ruth, this young Moabite woman comes as a foreigner. Talk about accepting people who are different. She comes as a foreigner, and she comes there, and it turns out that there is an older gentleman, a little bit older than Ruth, not too much, but he has a farm, and he's very successful there in that part of the world, and the Lord has used him to help, along with many others, to grow food for the people. And Ruth happens to meet him, and then there's this beautiful romance, you know, in biblical style in these chapters, and they fall in love. And there is this amazing turn of events. There's a change. Things start to look up. Chapter 3, verse 17, we find here that Boaz provides food for Ruth. She comes gleaning in the fields. And he tells the workers, you know, give extra, leave extra on the side so that she can glean in the fields. One time we lived across the road from a commercial farm when we lived in Massachusetts. And the farm manager who worked there, he would tell us, we used to walk around there because there was some nice dirt paths for walking. And he told us, he said, you can take anything you want from this farm that you want to use at home. Just whatever it is, the corn, they grew corn, there was cabbage, there was eggplant, there were green beans. And it was just beautiful. We lived there for several years. And he said, we don't care if you want to take it before we harvest or after we harvest, what's left over. Just take what you want. Just don't take stuff to go and sell it. Just take what you would use in your home. So we would go out, you know, at 11 o'clock on a weekday morning and go out and get a bunch of corn and cook it and have just fresh corn. It was really quite interesting and a great arrangement we had when we were living there. Gleaning from the fields. And that's what Ruth did. She was gleaning from the fields and she would always get extra. Well, it's mentioned here in chapter 3, verse 17. Then she, Ruth, told Naomi all that the man had done for her. And then she said, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me. For he said to me, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. Now, the biblical writers who wrote these stories were very artistic and skillful in the way that they wrote them. You find the word empty was used by Naomi in the verse we read before, where she said, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home again empty. But now there is a turn, there's a change, no longer empty, but now coming to fullness, where Ruth says, that Boaz said to Ruth, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. And so she's got, you know, this wonderful blessing. Well, it ends up turning into a marriage, a wedding, and it turns into not only that, but a child is born of this union of Ruth and Boaz. And I hear you think about this. You've got a woman who comes from Moab. She's a foreigner. She was in a marriage that was never supposed to happen. And now she's coming with her mother-in-law. She meets this Boaz and their life begins to turn better. They're going from this gradual emptiness to fullness. And that's not the end of the story. There is some wonderful, wonderful blessing here that we have in the last chapter of this book. After everything is said here, we've got verse 13 of chapter 4. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went in to her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. So now there's a grandchild in the picture. Now notice what was said to Naomi, talking about this great blessing. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom, and she became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. And then it says that there is a special connection here with Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So this Obed will become the grandfather of King David. And the rest of the verses there give the names. So this woman Ruth. She goes from Moab, being a foreigner, another culture, a different language. She comes in, she meets Boaz, their life gets better. They're no longer hungry. They're no longer suffering in a famine. They are having a quite a change and turn of events in their lives. And then we have this wedding that takes place. And then this baby is born. And he's part of the royal line. And as you know, we have the advantage of looking back on this from thousands of years hence from this point. And we know that not only was this baby Obed the grandfather of King David, but that ultimately Ruth became a part of the royal line and an ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And she occupies a very central, prominent role here within the genealogy of Jesus. Talk about an amazing transformation from emptiness to fullness. God's working in everyday life, in the mundane things, even though there were mistakes that were made, even though choices were made that were not right, but trusting in God, moving on from here, and seeing how God can lead, and God doing a marvelous thing. What are the challenges that you face in your life? What are the difficulties? What are the predicaments? If you will trust in God, believe in Him, believe that He can take it and work it out for you. When we suffer really great losses, it's a time not to just rehearse how much we've lost and think, what are we going to do? And you know, just panic and lose our faith. No, we say, yes, this was a great loss. But what remains? What remains? And where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? That would be a good question for us to ask as a nation right now. It seems that there has been a great loss and there has been a great tragedy in multiple places. And we might ask ourselves, where do we go from here? Maybe being at the bottom isn't all that bad because you can only go up. You can only improve from that point on. And in our personal lives, God wants to bring fullness. He wants to bring happiness. He wants to bring change. There are times, you know, when you just don't know how you're ever going to make it, and it's very difficult to pray, and you may feel like Naomi, someone that has just had such a difficult time, and you want to complain against God and say it doesn't pay to serve God. But if you continue to trust in God, God will bring things around eventually. He will give you relief. He will give you strength for the journey. He'll give you help along the way by the grace of God. And you will have a place in His great plan. You will have a part in His work. You will have meaning. You will have purpose if you will trust in God and do His will. So we're just so happy to have whoever it is that has joined us here. We give greetings to our friends from India who have tuned in. And whoever else in our area here in Oregon, we welcome you, and we trust that God is working in your life. We believe it. You can trust Him for it. And there may be a feeling of emptiness, a time of difficulty, but God is going to change that. You will start off empty, you'll end up full. You'll start off in difficulty, you'll end up in a much better way. God will make it happen. So right now, I'd like to pray with you as we finish up our time together. Let us just pause for a moment. Our Father in heaven, I want to pray for everyone who is watching right now. You know who they are, what kind of personal prayer needs there are. I pray for them. I lift them up to you. I believe that you are the one who is at work. You are the one who is able to bring fullness out of emptiness. You are the one that's able to bring hope out of discouragement. You are the one who can bring happiness out of sadness. And give us strength for the journey. Sometimes we know these changes, they take time, but give us patience, strength, perseverance, and bless each one. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we say good evening, good night, God bless you. And we will be continuing our broadcast, by the way, this coming Saturday, Sabbath. We will do broadcast as we've done before. And so tune in to this Facebook page, and we will have the sermon there. And God bless you, and we'll look to see you next time.